All right, welcome back. Third segment of Who's Talking and NCAA preview here. And boy, we've got some crazy games coming up. And, you know, somehow the Wahoos end up in Orlando, Florida, which I don't know about you guys, but I sort of said, hey, that's a break.
That's a good thing, given the weather hitting the Northeast.
I mean what, you would want to go to Buffalo. But anyway, Hubba wants to introduce our next guest, who really needs no introduction.
Absolutely. Barry Parkhill, friend, teammate, ACC Player of the Year, and a man who's had immense impact on the Virginia Athletic program over several decades now. So, Barry, thanks for being willing to call into the show tonight.
More than welcome, Hubba, and good to hear you guys' voices, and I hope you're both are doing well.
We also have Terry Gates in the studio here, so we got more basketball knowledge than can fill a thimble, you know. Hey,
hello,
listen, take off.
Barry, how you doing?
Well, thank you.
Take off your development hat tonight. We're only going to ask basketball questions tonight, so put on your coaching hat. Tell us about the Hoos and what to look forward to this weekend against UNC Wilmington.
Everybody knows by now, Jim, I have not seen Wilmington play, but they're 29-5, and apparently they like to press and go up and down, and they've had a really good year. I just like our guys' chances, and as everybody knows, we play great defense consistently, and if we're shooting the ball fairly well, we can play with anybody in the country.
What about London Parentes and Cal Guy? You know, I mean, they're pretty critical. And talk a little bit about London. You're a former point guard. You have to appreciate not only what he's done this year, but throughout his career.
I've felt like London is one of the most underrated players in the country. And, of course, this year his role has changed because he now has to be a scorer versus just a distributor. But I think he's underrated as a defender. He's obviously a very cool customer, and again, he's had a tremendous career. And I hope, for his sake and Tony's and everybody else's, that we get on a pretty good run here now that the tournament's begun.
What about the big guys? Do you see any potential among our big guys? Because that's clearly been one of the weaknesses this year, the lack of interior scoring.
You said it all there, Jim. I think we're challenged sometimes to get that bucket inside versus what Anthony Gill did for us for several years. And when you got a guy that can score with his back to the basket consistently, you create double teams, you put other big guys in foul trouble, you go to the foul line. We really don't have that consistent score. But you know what? We've won 21 games, or 22 games, excuse me, and I think we've really overachieved this year. And I, for one, think it's one of Tony's best coaching jobs ever.
Yeah, Bear, we talked about earlier, you know, people like to say the Austin Nichols situation, what happened, but I was telling Frank, forget about that. That's 25% of it. Mr. Brogdon and Mr. Gill and Mr. Toby aren't on this team anymore. So that was a huge, huge, you know, some minutes and points and leadership that they had to replace this year. But let me ask you just one question here. We talked about the lack of big inside presence. Are you surprised they don't just even try to throw the ball in there at times? I know Isaiah Wilkins had some nice moves, as did Anthony Gill last year, but it seems like at times they don't even try to get the ball into the mid-block area.
I would be the last guy to ever question what our guys do under Tony's leadership. I think at times where throwing it in there would probably be a benefit. But again, Tony's going with what he's got. I think in a lot of respects, we've got some really good players that sometimes don't get as much notoriety. But this year, when we're successful, it is a team. Yeah. And when we have three or four guys shooting the ball fairly well, not turning the ball over and playing the defense we play, we can win a lot of games in this tournament.
I still haven't figured out how we kept or held Carolina to 43 points. Can you explain that one?
You know what, Abo, you've seen it. We've all seen it. You know how Terry played. Our guys laid it on the line that night, and every guy that was out there played great defense, and which some people realize and some don't. A big part of our success is not just great defense, but it's the way we play offense. We make teams guard us, and that also shortens the game. And some teams think they play great defense for 30 seconds, but they play it for 18 or 19, and they make a mistake, and we capitalize. And that was just a tremendous team effort. And we played for 40 minutes that night.
How do we bottle that and do it this weekend?
I tell you what, Hobo, if you could do that, yeah, I'd be coming after you every day for that big gift. you know, that's why they keep scoring. That's why they play the game.
Yeah.
Well, you talked a little bit about Tony, and I said earlier in the show, I too think this, given the limitations that this team has, it's been one of Coach Bennett's better years from a coaching perspective. But looking ahead, obviously London will be a big loss, but everybody else back with the addition of two redshirt freshmen next year and an incoming player from San Antonio, the future is bright.
No question. I think the kids that are redshirting are both going to be good players, and everybody's got a year under their belt. Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, they'll have a year to get stronger, which in turn they'll be better both offensively and defensively. And, you know, nobody talks about him a whole lot, but I for one, think Devin Hall is one of the most improved players in the country, and Mariel Shayok has had his moments. And the fact that we didn't play great against Notre Dame, but Mariel made some buckets and saw the ball go in, hopefully that'll give him some confidence going into the tournament.
I know sometimes you see the kids work out in the summertime. Have you seen DeAndre Hunter and Jay Huff play?
I've seen them both practice many times, and I think both of those kids are going to be real nice players. Both of them needed to get stronger. Jay Huff just needed to put on pounds besides getting stronger. He's gained a lot of weight since he's been here, and they both have talent, and I think they're really going to be great additions.
I mean, is Huff potentially a low post player, or is he more of a four?
Well, you know, at this point, he's a four or a five. In the way we play, it's kind of interchangeable. The young man can block shots, but I tell you what, you might be challenged playing him a game of horse, Hobo, because this kid can really shoot it too.
At this stage, I'd be challenged playing just about anybody.
He needs another knee replacement.
Never mind.
Hey, Barry, this is Frank. Assuming Virginia takes care of business and they're favored by 6 or 7 points, according to Vegas, and Virginia's had a lot of experience in the NCAAs over the last, you know, 6 years. They should be ready to take down UNC Wilmington. Then, assuming Florida does what they're expected, you know, they've got a big game coming up against 24-8, second in the SEC, Florida Gators. How do you think that game would play out?
I, for one, I haven't seen Florida play that much. I know apparently they have a big guy who's out. I just don't look past the first-round game. I think we all know there are going to be upsets in this tournament.
Yes.
Most of those upsets are in the first or second round. I think at the end of the day, the schools in the Power Five conferences will probably dominate the Sweet 16 moving forward because those teams are used to playing big games all through their schedule, whereas the mid-majors, you know, they may have a tough game or two or three, but it's not quite the same. You know, every game is going to be a tough one. I just don't look past our first round game, although I did a bracket for a charity event this mm-hmm. morning, and I mm-hmm. was given the East.
Yep.
And I, you know what? I picked our guys going to the Final Four.
There you go, Barry.
Hey.
I just can't help it. I'm always going to do that.
We'll take it. We'll take it. That probably means we got to knock out Villanova and Duke along the way. But
exactly.
So be it.
You know, what the heck?
Yeah, we should have beaten Villanova, you know, a month or so ago.
Well,
I'm going with what happened last year. Look what happened to the loser of the Virginia-Villanova game last year.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it happens the same with the loser of the Villanova-Virginia game this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. One of the players for Florida is a kid named Devin Robinson. I saw him play in high school. He's from Chesterfield, but he went to Christ Church. And I tell you, he's getting better and better for Florida. But anyway, looking at the NCAA tournament today and the expanded field, and here's Wake Forest playing earlier in the week, When you watch the tournament, are you sort of blown away by what's happened to the NCAA tournament?
I am, and unfortunately, in this conversation we're having, there's only one guy that has experienced the NCAA, and that's Terry.
Yeah.
But it's just teams are getting better. The mid-majors are getting better. It's probably one of the greatest sporting events around the world, and I know I'm a little bit prejudiced, but it's just a great three weekends of college basketball, and I always really look forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a groupie like you and I are, Thursday and Friday, where you turn on the TV at noon and the games run through after midnight.
And, well, and many, you, many Bob, of them, but I got to work.
Many of them are buzzer beaters, and you talk about the upsets, and you're right. It's just become a spectacular event. But let me ask you this: in that regard, are coaches judged too heavily by how they do in March?
I don't think so. I've not really thought about that question, which is a great one. Obviously, it counts, but I think coaches now, there's probably more pressure than ever on all the coaches. But again, I think a part of that's the salary. A part of that's just the big business that college athletics is.
Well, it's the expectation, too. You know, the fans expect their team to win every game, and when you don't, they're disappointed. So it makes it tough. And the ACC is a coach's league. You start with the fact you got four Hall of Fame guys actively coaching in the ACC, and that's after that is when you get to Tony Bennett and some other guys who are just sensational coaches.
It is. This league this year, the ACC, I think from top to bottom, has been about as competitive as I've seen in a long, long time. And I think you can even expand it to the NCAA. There's a lot of really good teams, but there aren't teams that you just say that team is a guaranteed lock to get to the Final Four.
Yeah,
there's just a whole lot of teams that could get that far.
Speaking of Final Four, who's going to join Virginia in the Final Four? Do you have any ideas?
Well, I sort of did mine. I have Virginia, Kansas, Arizona, and UNC. Believe it or not.
Not a bad group.
We'll take that. We may all have to buy tickets to go to Phoenix. I thought we were headed there last year, except for that last 9 minutes and 32 seconds. Something went haywire, which was tough. And I think the disappointing thing about that is how difficult, as Terry Gates knows, how difficult it is to get to the Final Four. So when you get that close and you don't get it done, it's kind of disappointing.
It is, and again, this year maybe is more than many years in the past. There's just so many teams that could get on a run. It just, you just never know. And you look at last year. I guess it was Middle Tennessee who beat Michigan State, and they're a team that nobody really follows that closely. But I watched them a little bit, and those guys are really good. SMU's got some serious talent. So you got a lot of teams out there that nobody really has followed that closely. I haven't seen Gonzaga play at all. And, you know, they could make a run. West Virginia, you just never know what team gets in foul trouble or, you know, the ball can bounce different ways. But it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Well, a lot of it is getting hot at the right time, which is what Villanova did last year. Now, the one team that might be peaking at the right time is Duke, and they clearly have just some unbelievable talent on that roster.
Well, and they were also preseason number one, so that's not a surprise. You know, Kentucky has all those young kids, but those young kids aren't freshmen anymore. They've got a year under their belt, and they're so talented, but you just don't know how they're going to react once they get to the tournament. So there's just so many good teams, as I said before.
I assume, are you headed to Orlando this week?
I probably will not go. I've been on the road the last 2 weeks. But I'll certainly be following it. There's a small chance, but I doubt I'll be making that trip.
Okay. Well, you'll be with the rest of us watching on TV and rooting hard. But, Barry, we appreciate your filling in tonight for a few minutes and giving us your feedback on the Hoos and the expectations and all that good stuff, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys, and all the best to all you folks, and give your families my best as well.
Will do.
Thank you, Barry.
Barry Parkhill, Virginia great. We're going to go to our final break. When we come back, we still got the Olympic report, and we'll take a final look at the NCAA bracket with an eye toward the Hoos. Stay tuned. You're listening to Who's Talking.